Would you like to know the key to creating more abundance in your life? Well, stick around for today's episode because we're going to be talking about that with women's transformational coach, Aurora Farmer. She's also going to share with us how she overcame the feeling like she was not enough. And that's exactly what I talk about in my new book, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself, which you can pick up today, or at least pre-order a copy, I should say, on liveloveengagebook.com. And for a limited time, it's only 99 cents on Kindle. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste, and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and today we're going to be talking about abundance. We're going to be talking about femininity and more specifically feminine fire, intuition, all sorts of wonderful things with my guest today on the program, who is Aurora Farber. So first off, I want to welcome you to Live, Love, Engage, Aurora.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here to connect with you, to connect with your audience, and to live, love, and engage.
Absolutely. Well, we are delighted to have you. And this woman is, she is accomplished. She's got a lot going for her. So let me just share a little bit with you, or with you out there listening, watching on YouTube, so you can learn a little bit more about her. She is a women's transformational coach, intuitive guide, writer, speaker, sacred space ceremonialist, wayfinder, magical muse, and modern day priestess. And her mission is to help women get unstuck by reclaiming and igniting their feminine fire, that heart light within that integrates life-giving power, compassionate love, and intuitive wisdom. And these three feminine flames are the key to creating a life of passion, pleasure, purpose on the journey of feminine leadership, which is so important. I think all women, we are leaders in our own right, but sometimes I think we don't always express that enough or maybe own it. And which is why Aurora believes that women are works of art and every woman is a sacred vessel capable of miraculous creation. And to activate that creative Shakti fire, we need to come back home to ourselves, to our inner fire, to our feminine fire. So, actually, you know what? We were talking before we started the recording that I was going to go one way, but I'm thinking let's actually deal with the feminine fire right now. And what maybe a little bit, explain a little bit more about that and why it is so important really for women to reclaim and ignite it.
Yes, I'd love to. I really loved your introduction and remembering those words that came through me, that women are works of art. And if you think about a work of art, a vessel, right, a piece of pottery, there needs to be that fire, that place of animation where we come alive. And so women are not only works of art, but we have the ability to create. We can create life. That is our Shakti fire. That is, it's our superpower.
That's true.
And but for thousands of years, women who rose into that knowing, who shared their gifts, their medicine gifts, their inner wisdom, their intuition, their ways of working with the earth and with the body, those things have been cut off for many women, and it's passed down through the lineage. And so this feminine fire is nothing new, but it is something that we are here to reignite. And for me, I love, you know, there's as I work with 13 divine feminine archetypes, and there are two that come to me when I feel into what does this fire mean to me? Well, there's that creative Shakti fire of like the wild woman of the primal goddess, you know, dancing around the fire, that howling to the moon, that kind of fire, right? That births life and creativity and is passionate and full of energy. And then there's another fire, and it's the fire of the goddess of compassion. That's the triple flame that lives in the heart. It's the purple fire. And so for me, that is composed of these three flames: power, love, and wisdom. And that's the fire that is my mission to bring back to this world, to reignite power, love, and wisdom. Well, this wisdom we have inside of us, but many of us have forgotten, or it's been stripped away, or we've been told that it's not valid, either that we were crazy or that we were lunatics, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Having this inner knowing. This love we are capable of sharing, but for many women, that's that aspect of self-love, that flame first needs to be ignited, right?
Yes.
And then power. Well, certainly we live in a different age, and that is one of the beautiful things about this time now. We do have more power, but the models of power that we have are all the masculine models. And so we've kind of come into our own feminism with like, okay, well, I've got to put on my pantsuit and, you know, just trying to follow the model of power that we have seen. Mm-hmm. And yet these typical structures of the patriarchy, especially this year during COVID,
yes,
these structures are crumbling. And we are beginning to see how they don't serve, at least they don't serve all of us. They may serve some of us, but not all of us. Yeah. And so when you add that aspect of combining power with love, like how can I add to the flame of love where I can use my power to serve all of us and through the guidance of your own intuition, then that becomes a fire that can really illuminate and change the world. For me, that's what feminine fire is.
I like that. And yeah, you're right. It's interesting because I was just, as you were talking about intuition and thinking that, you know, so often, you know, people mention, oh, you know, women's intuition. And yet when they talk about it, I'm thinking that it's not necessarily embraced as something good. It's sort of almost made fun of, I think. And I think maybe that's part of why women, or at least, and certainly had been in my case, sort of not valuing it enough. And I have since come to realize that it is important to trust my intuition, because I certainly the times where I have not have been the times when I regretted it and things didn't go right because I wasn't listening, paying attention to that voice in my head. So I urge anyone watching and listening, especially women, and I think men do have this to a certain degree as well, but there is a reason why that voice is inside of you. And it's usually, if it's especially giving you something positive to do, it's a positive voice. It is that voice, your higher power, whatever you believe in. But ultimately, it's a voice of love coming through. So I love that you are helping women do that. The other thing that is, I think, also sort of gets women stuck is around the issue of money, abundance. And I know that I think because sometimes we are trying to conform to maybe the masculine idea of what it means to be successful. But you had written a chapter in a compilation book that talks about vessels of abundance. And I was wondering if you would share with us a little bit about what it means, what did that mean to you, and what we can learn from that?
Yes, I would love to. And that's a perfect segue, because really this book, this chapter came to me totally through my intuition, because I had written for, this is a series called The New Feminine Evolutionary. And I had written one chapter in the very first book, which, you know, brought a lot of healing to me, helped me really find my own voice. And so by the time I was asked to write for this book, it's called Pioneering the Path of Prosperity, I said yes, because my intuition said yes, but I really had no idea what I was going to write about. So at that time, I started to, you know, just I'm always adding on to my intuitive abilities and really my trust in intuition. And so that year, I started the year off learning about the Akashic Records, and I began to open my own records. And so I thought, well, why not? Why don't I ask in this field of all time and space what is meant to come through me mm-hmm. book? And so I closed my eyes, and I am primarily, my intuitive gift is clairvoyance. So I generally see symbols. Mm-hmm. I see images. I have vivid dreams. So I saw three different glasses. One was a martini glass, one was a wine goblet, and one was a champagne flute. And I thought, oh, that's amazing. And then I thought, well, what the heck does that have to do with prosperity?
Right, yeah.
And so even for a while in the beginning, I started to write something. And what happened to me is I just kind of felt into, okay, well, how are these vessels different? And how have I felt like that vessel in my life? Mm. And so I felt into the martini glass, and it reminded me of my time when I was in my 20s, when I had just graduated college. And instead of going off to pursue the traditional path of prosperity, which would be to get a job,
right,
I packed my bags and I headed off to Europe. Mm. And I was only going to stay for 2 months, and I stayed for 6 years.
Oh my.
This little voice, yes. I would come back, but I would always have this little voice inside of me that would say, you're not done yet. You need to go back. And during that time, especially in the very beginning, it was so completely new to me. I had never traveled overseas. Mm. I lived this philosophy that I called the freedom from certainty. Mm. And I had grown up with kind of a path laid out ahead. Yeah. And in this new philosophy, this freedom from certainty, anything was possible. And so I could say yes and follow my inner yes. And so I traveled all over. I traveled to Egypt and Israel, all throughout Europe. I, you know, rode feluccas down the Nile. I ate cookies for breakfast. I, you know, sunbathed on the beaches of Greece. I did mm-hmm. all of these things that I had wanted to do in my life. Mm-hmm. And had it not been for that voice, I could have easily said, no, I'm going to put that off. I'm going to go get the job, save up some money.
Right.
And during that time, it wasn't easy either. Like many mm-hmm. times, I didn't even know where I was going to be living or how I would pay for food at mm-hmm. times. But I just trusted that I was meant to learn something on this adventure that I was on. And so in this chapter, I said, what did I say? I have to look back at the book. It's been a while since I wrote it. But that came to me. And yeah, this is what I wanted to read actually first, even before this.
Yeah.
Because what had happened was I saw these three types of glasses, and I also saw a golden tray. And so I allowed my inner voice to speak. And it's the beginning of this chapter because mm-hmm. I didn't know what prosperity was. Right. And my inner voice told me, this is how you're going to find out. So it starts off by saying, here you are pondering the true meaning of abundance, prosperity, and wealth. Scattered in the journeys of your life and the whispering of your soul, you will find what you seek. Sometimes we only recognize what's already here in the retelling of the story. Sometimes we need a metaphor to find the deepest truth. And so I present to you a golden tray and three vessels of abundance, three shapes to decipher, three signs to show the way. Pick them up, each in turn, and listen to learn how to dance in the mystery of abundance. Mm. And so that's what I did. And with that martini glass, I remembered that part of my life. And I call that first treasure the invitation to sip the abundance of delight. Mm-hmm. Because in those early days of my 20s, I sipped the abundance of delight. Mm-hmm. And that's like what drinking a martini is like. It's kind of frivolous. You can have, you know, right. Apple caramel martini or a dark chocolate martini or a dirty martini.
That's right. Yeah.
you follow your heart's desire. Mm-hmm. And so that became a clue for me to say, ah, this mm-hmm. is what abundance is about, is finding delight in mm-hmm. the moment. So that was my first treasure. And then I went on and I kind of picked up the symbol of the goblet in my hand. And what did that mean to me? Because these symbols that you receive through your intuition, whether you hear them, know them, see them, mm-hmm. Smell them, we all have different ways of receiving our inner voice.
Yeah.
There's something that you can work with. And so I remembered that goblet, like the toast of my wedding. And so that became a chapter on my partnership. And that second treasure was called Savor the Abundance of Love. Mm. And then I moved on to the third. And the third glass, a champagne flute, has a very different feeling in your hand. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as, you know, if you can even imagine to the audience out there, if you pick up a champagne glass, you kind of look at it, you look at the bubbles rising up, yep. and you want to lift it, right, to toast.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's a different energy in that glass, right, rather than the richness of a dark red wine or the frivolity of a dirty martini.
Right. Yeah.
And so I felt into my own knowing and I was like, okay, how is my life now like this champagne flute? And actually it was that time in my life when I was writing this, when I had all these dreams of who I wanted to be and who I wanted to become, especially on a, you know, more on a bigger level right. in my business. Yeah. Right. And I also had that sense of, I want to do this. I believe I can. No, I can't. It's too hard. You know, I was going back and forth. And so one of the things that I loved is this third treasure, the champagne flute, is toast the abundance of possibility. Mm. And through that, I recognize this voice, which I call an aspect of myself that my family knows me as in my wedding. This is my sort of avatar nickname, is Princess Flutterby. It's the very light, fun, magical, musy part of me.
Yeah.
That believes, completely believes in possibility, that all things are possible. And so as I ended this chapter, I wrote what it was like. And I share this with the audience because especially now when things are hard, you know, we're living in a hard time, we can feel like it's that glass is too heavy.
Yeah.
That there are no possibilities. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to share this part as inspiration for our audience. So I wrote, some of my dreams are still in progress. I'm learning to claim more of my essence than my ego. As I raise a glass and toast the possibility of what is not here yet, but of what is to come. Sometimes I hold the glass with confidence, remembering all the signs that guide me. Sometimes I hold it with courage, even in the face of the unknowable path. And sometimes I hold the glass with trepidation and doubt, my smaller self wondering, will this actually happen? Am I enough to make my dreams come true? Will this love last? My glass becomes heavy with fear and expectation. My body contracts as I shrink away from my soul's purpose. And that's when I need to hear her most, my mythic essence, Princess Flutterby, mm-hmm. whose love of life, love, and adventure have always guided me to live in the freedom from certainty. And at these moments, I hear her clearly. Her voice no longer a whisper. And she says, my darling, put the glass down. That's not the way to toast. Let go of the hesitation, the speculation, the doubt, and then pick up the glass. Mm-hmm. A true toast is seeing what you desire as already here. To your wonderful life, to your amazing marriage, to your happy family, to your good health, to your sacred and successful business, to your financial freedom, to a peaceful planet, to setting the world on fire with love. See it already here, beloved, and then a clink, a swallow, and it is done. Mm-hmm. It is done.
Ah. I love that. That is awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, I feel like, especially at this time when it's so, mm-hmm. that glass does feel really heavy right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
But, you know, as Einstein said, we cannot create the future we desire from the mindset that created the present situation.
Yeah.
And so if we want to create more happiness, more abundance, more equality for all, we have to already see it as here. We have to believe in the possibility that it can be, and not be, and not lurk in the heaviness. That's what I love when that voice came and said, just put the glass down. Like, don't even pick it up.
That's right.
Until you're ready to believe. Mm-hmm. Like, if you need the time to be in it, that's okay too.
Yeah.
And then let it go and pick up the glass and mm-hmm. toast to what you desire.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Wonderful advice. Because sometimes it really is just too heavy. And if you're going to try to hold it that way, you're going to wind up, it might slip out of your hands, and we don't want that to happen. So it's much better to just put it down and just chill, just kind of relax a little bit until you're more focused and have that possibility of dreaming. Which actually brings me to my next question, because when you work with clients, what would you say is, or have you seen maybe, is there perhaps a common concern or issue that women come to you with that they need help with? And because I'm wondering if it is sometimes that, maybe it is, it's sort of a feeling of stuckness maybe, or they're trying to be able to, how to be able to be who they probably really feel like they should, maybe not really, not should, but who they really are, but they're too afraid to maybe let out.
Yeah, I love that question. And, it's such an honor for me to sit and hold space with someone who is at that crossroad, because I know that crossroad. I have lived that crossroad. And I remember the heaviness of what that's like, to feel like you have a light to shine, and yet there's something that's blocking it from coming out. And, I talk a lot in terms of alchemy and shadows and light and gifts and things like that in my priestessing. And you can think of it like the image of a lotus, right? The image of a lotus that has these long, dark roots mm-hmm. that's connected to the murky mud. Mm-hmm. And often what I find in that murky mud of women is the story of I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. And with that story, there's different flavors of it. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'm not enough means I'm not lovable. I'm not enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not enough. I can't speak up because I don't deserve to speak up. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Mm-hmm. That I'm not enough makes them shrink back, and it really dims their light. And what I love doing and what I have learned is that it's within the shadow that's where you actually find your gift. And so that was my story, was I'm not enough. Mm. Like, I have all these great ideas, but I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the credentials. I don't have the willpower, mm-hmm. all of these things. And once I worked with my own shadow, because on the other side of that mess and that heaviness is your lightness and your magnificence. And when you, for me, how I moved it and was able to move through it was having support. So mm-hmm. hiring my own coach, mm-hmm. being in sisterhood, being with other women. Because that's the other thing, is that women feel like we have to do it alone.
I know.
And one of my favorite things to do is lead groups of women on a journey together mm-hmm. where we all come in and we have agreements on how we are going to be, because this is not like a chit-chat circle. This yeah. is a place of alchemy where we are consciously choosing to dive in and say, okay, what's in the shadows and what is the gift that's going to come from the shadows? Mm-hmm. For example, there's also a whole beautiful teaching called the Gene Keys that talks a lot about light and shadows. Mm-hmm. And an example of a light and shadow is the shadow of unease. And certainly in our world right now, this shadow is prevalent. And it's that sense of dread of like, oh my gosh, what's coming around the corner?
Right. Yeah.
When I turn on the TV, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
Right? But in that unease, Richard Rudd, who wrote the Gene Keys, he calls that, it comes from the I Ching, and it's called a gentle wind. Mm. And it has both that aspect of the wind, which can be gentle. It can cool you off. It connects you. you and I and everyone, it touches us, right? Right. And at the same time, it can just create havoc.
Yes.
A hurricane, a tornado, spreading wildfire, right?
Yeah.
So it's that same way, because what happens is that that shadow, when you raise it up, how do you get out of unease? How do you reach clarity and know how to find your way? The highest aspect of that frequency band, unease to clarity, the pathway is intuition.
Mm.
Intuition is the way that we find our way out of unease, because when we tap into our intuition, we're tapping into our instinct, and that instinct that's connected to all.
Mm.
And so it's like our own inner GPS that can help us rise out of our fear and doubt about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the primary tools that I use in coaching clients, is to help them to activate their own inner knowing. I don't hold the answers for anyone,
right?
But I can sit and see and witness and honor both the shadow and embrace the shadow, not push it away. Lots of coaching schools are like, that's how I first learned when I was training in, you know, like positive psychology coaching. It's, you know, take that shadow aspect, write it on a piece of paper, put it in a big book and slam the book, you know, lock it up in a drawer, lock your saboteur in a drawer. You know, and for a moment that might work, but it doesn't really work on the root of the problem, which is the story, I'm not enough. And so instead, the invitation is to embrace that story and to hold it and say, okay, this is a story I've had. This is what it's costing me. This is how it's showing up. And this is what I'm no longer choosing. And I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to ask for guidance in the form of intuition, in the form of support from other women, in the form of support from my coach to help me raise up and lift. And then it becomes like that image of the lotus, where that root and that murky mud actually becomes the fertilization for that lotus to rise and to shine and to be this beautiful symbol of peace and harmony and connection to the divine.
Yeah. And I really do appreciate you talking about the importance of not only working with a coach, but also being with other women too, because that's something that I have been very fortunate. It was actually shortly after my sister transitioned that I was invited to attend a Wise Women retreat, and it was a one-day retreat, and I wound up connecting with a wonderful woman who then holds monthly Wise Women circles, in which I've been going to ever since for like 4 years now, and it's just really a blessing to be able to come together with, you know, other women once a month and to, you know, be in like a safe circle where you can share what's on your mind and not be, you know, not be judged, or just to be allowed to speak. And so I think that is so important. Another thing I wanted to ask you, now for those of you listening, you're not going to be able to appreciate this if you're listening on like iTunes or something, but for those of you watching this on YouTube, Aurora has a lovely background of the moon behind her and a clouds. And I was just wondering if there's any significance as to why you have that background behind you today.
Yes, actually there is. I'm preparing for the launch of my course, Moon Cycle Magic. And the moon is actually one of my anchors in my life. And the moon for me represents, as we talked about intuition being like your internal GPS, the moon is the external focus point to help you in develop your intuition. So for anyone out there who's interested in learning how to really work with intuition, because what intuition requires, it doesn't require certifications or a special gift that only you have or right. I have. It's nothing like that. What it really requires is stillness. Mm-hmm. It requires a quiet mind, mm-hmm. and it requires not being attached to what comes, and mm-hmm. it requires trust.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said earlier, sometimes you've received it, but then you're like, nah, that's just my crazy mind. And usually you'll know, because sometimes people say, well, how do you know the difference between intuition and, you know, maybe just a part of you that wants it a certain way.
Right.
Your ego kind of getting in there. And for me, intuition always feels neutral. It doesn't make me feel like, oh yeah, that's great. Or, oh no, that's not what I want. Gotcha. Whenever that happens, that's me. But it feels neutral. And so the moon, practicing using your intuition with the moon is really magical, because the moon is like that outward symbol in the sky that guides us, especially as women, in this 29 and a half day cycle, which is the same cycle our bodies use to create our menstrual cycle, which creates life, right?
Yeah.
So we can, in one cycle, create life, which is amazing. Mm. And we can, even now, after your menstruation stops, you can create life into something new. Mm-hmm. And so if you use that cycle with the new moon beginning to set and receive your intentions, I teach how to receive intentions so that you're not attached to them and it's more magical and you to help you find your way. You can journey through the four phases of the moon. I have a system called the Moon Cycle Power Path, where the moon cycle invites you to first reset. Isn't that great? Every month you get to reset.
Yes.
Start over.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Reset. And then in the second week, you recharge, mm-hmm. which is what we need as the moon begins to grow into her fullness. Mm-hmm. When we're at the full moon, we renew. We renew our hearts and spirits with that energy of the archetype of the goddess. Mm-hmm. And then as the moon begins to wane once again and slow down, we reflect and we receive the wisdom of our own inner wise woman. And we can do this every 29 and a half days. And through each cycle, begin to lighten those shadows that I talked about earlier. Right. You can begin to work with one of those shadows and take it through the moon cycle and see how at the end, reflect before you reset yet again on what's the wisdom. And in regards to feminine leadership, that last phase is so important, because for me, that's where I come up with what I'm sharing with my community. Yeah. Is I listen to what my symbol is, and then at the end, I write about it or record about it. And this is part of my medicine, not just for me, but in leadership, mm-hmm. this is what I offer. And so you see, it's not coming from me sitting here strategizing on, okay, what's the best way to da-da-da-da-da, but it's just being still, listening, not being attached, mm-hmm. receiving, and letting it work through with the moon. So that's what the moon is all about. Mm. It is an anchor point for us, and it's encoded in our cells, and not only as a pathway of manifestation and transformation, mm-hmm. but, and I think this is so important for women, it is our birthright. It shares with us our birthright on how we're meant to live cyclically and rhythmically, mm. because we've been taught one of the old stories of the patriarchy is, you know, our calendar and everything is based off the sun, right. and the energy of the sun is always shining, always on.
Yeah.
And so we've been taught in these feminine bodies of 29 and a half day cycles that we need to be on, shining bright. I'm ready. Yeah. I can do it. You know, and what happens is it drains our chi, our own life force. Mm-hmm. But the moon, as you watch it in the sky, you can see that that's the way we're meant to live. We're meant to slow down. It's our birthright to mm-hmm. reset. It's our birthright to shine and share. And then it's our birthright to come back home to ourselves.
Mm.
Not when we're sick or when we've lost a job or when, you know, we're zoning out in front of Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's part of a natural cycle that keeps us healthy and sane and helps us really be of service to the world.
Oh, that's awesome. And I think that is even more, well, I think it's always been important, but I think it's really important right now for women to, I really hope you're listening and paying attention to, because it really resonated with me hugely, because especially, you know, I deal with networking, I'm a business owner, and so I'm certainly on Zoom a lot more this year now than we ever were, since we're not networking in person. And yes, there have been some times where it's just been like, oh, I just don't want to do, you know, I want to just be able to just take a break and not have to, you know, even writing something for my own, you know, my own blog or doing something, because it's just like, I just need a break. But to understand, to look at it from that mindset of really respecting that cycle, I think is so empowering, because it really can help. I can definitely see how it can help me so that I can, take some time, you know, be on when it makes sense, but then also take some time to step back a little bit and recharge, and not have to be on 24 hours a day.
When you start living that way, it's kind of like, oh, I'm so glad the new moon is coming.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
It's almost like a planned vacation mm-hmm. every 29 and a half days, yeah. which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And even if you can't take a true vacation, just to begin to live, you know, it's an adjustment to how we're used to living. So maybe it just means that every new moon, you make time to do something you love. You get a massage or you take a bath and you meditate and you let your family know that, you know, don't disturb me for the next hour.
Right.
Or even if it's 15 minutes, like new moms, they can hardly get 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to begin to attune your own body, because that's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. Is that we are encoded to live this way. And so once we begin to program ourselves to slow down mm-hmm. and then to show up, you know, this interview right now is in a waxing moon. And mm-hmm. I purposely did that because I know that this is the time to begin to grow in energy and share, rather than taxing my own self when my body's wanting to slow down and retreat and mm-hmm. then to on camera.
Yeah.
So there's many ways that we can just, it's intuitive to live that way.
Exactly.
It's intuitive not only with the moon, but even with the seasons.
Yeah.
You know, we're here in Florida. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't feel seasons like they do up north, but we still do feel a cooling off.
Oh yeah.
And this is our waning time. Mm-hmm. This is our time to come back in.
Yeah.
You know, into the winter, until the winter solstice.
Yeah.
And that's when we begin to grow once again. So this is, it's nothing new, but it is a way to not only ignite your feminine fire, mm-hmm. but it's to be able to tend the flame of it. Mm-hmm. Because that's the other thing, is just that pressure that we can even put on ourselves to grow and to do. And to we say yes, and sometimes our boundaries are not strong enough. Mm-hmm. And that pressure that we can put on ourselves when we have something like this, that's right up there in the sky. Or you can get a moon calendar and it can tell you, okay, this is where you're meant to be right now. Mm-hmm. And of course you can use your moon cycle, and you know, there's different layers of that as well. But just as a general symbol, that symbol of waxing and waning is a beautiful blueprint for us women.
Mm, awesome.
And I think even for men.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't hurt. Because we all do have masculine and feminine sides to us. We just need find a way to bring them back into balance so they can have a little bit of the feminine, and we sometimes we need to actually embrace our own femininity, because we have been maybe trying to be too much masculine. Balance. Well, perspective, maybe even.
Harmony.
Yep. Yes. Harmony is a better word. I like that. Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been amazing, and we could probably go on talking forever, but I know you've got another, word's escaping me. Another appointment. There we go. That's a good word. Later. Yes, as do I. So before we say goodbye, I do want to have you share how folks can get in touch with you. If someone wants to be able to learn more and, you know, they really resonated with what you've talked about today, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Yes, thank you. I'd love to connect with you, and you can reach me on my website, aurorafarber.com. I also have a new quiz, and it's called the Intuition Quiz. So if you'd like to find out how you best receive your soul messages, how you receive them, either you you're a clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, or claircognizant, this fun little quiz will point you in the direction. You may have all these gifts as well, but your primary gift and some tips on how you can begin to work with that and strengthen those skills, because I feel that right now, especially, we need this internal GPS to help us wayfind, to find our way in this unknown future, and a way that keeps us light, that keeps us in attunement with our essence more than the fears of our ego, so that we can together begin to create a world full of more harmony, a world that is cyclical and that is harmonized and that is integrated, and that where equality really lives and flourishes on this planet.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And it is interesting, the different ways that you can receive messages, because for me, no surprise, because I write and I speak, is that I will hear words. Oftentimes I get music lyrics actually will pop in my head, and then I go Google them and look at it and going, oh, okay. Yeah, I can see why that one popped in my head today. That makes perfect sense. It definitely was what's going on in my life right now. Okay, very good. So it is. Yeah. It's interesting how
that and isn't that wonderful? It's like a little, I don't know, love tap from the universe saying, okay, you're on track.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it. So, well, thank you so much for being here. And I will also make sure that I have all of your information will be in the show notes. So if you're driving, riding a bike, whatever, right now, don't worry about it. You can get back to your computer later and you'll be able to find all the information. And until next time, I just encourage you to shine your light. And as you do, go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically.
One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's liveloveengage.com.